We're holding on Samach Aleph, Amud Aleph, seventh line. We looked in the Mishnah v'chein behecho v'chein b'mizbeach kula. That we said that each unit of hazois of sprinkling that the Kohen Gadol does with the par and the sor is considered a separate kapara. So we said, for example, if he did the ones in the if the blood spilled, let's say, in the middle of doing the ones in the Kodesh Kedoshim, then the Tanakama had said that he has to get a new par or a new sor, as the case may be, and shech them again and start over that series of sprinklings. Because that series of sprinklings is a kapara of its own. And the same, now on the other hand, we said, good morning, Ellie. On the other hand, we said that if he finished the sprinklings in the Kodesh Kedoshim and then the blood spilled before he started the ones in the Heichel, he doesn't have to redo the ones in the Kodesh Kedoshim because the ones in the Kodesh Kedoshim are a unit of their own and the ones in the Heichel are a unit of their own. So the point is, in other words, there's different groups of hazois, and each one stands by itself. So therefore, once one of them is finished, he doesn't redo that one in case there was a spill or some other accident like that. But if it spills in the middle of one of those sets, in the middle of one of those units, then the Tanakama, which we're going to say later is Reb Meir, would say that he has to start over from the beginning of that unit. And we said in the Mishnah of Elazar and Reb Shimon said he doesn't have to, which we're going to learn further down on the Yomud why they say that. So turn it up on him. We learn in a Braisa regarding these various applications of blood. The Pasuk says like this. The expression in the Pasuk is, V'chiper es mikdash ha-kodesh, he should make a kapara for the holy place, ves oyel moyed ves mizbeach yechaper, and oyel moyed and mizbeach he should be mechaper for, val akoyinim val kol amakol yechaper, and he should be mechaper for the koyinim and for all the other people of the congregation. So let's break that down phrase by phrase. V'chiper es mikdash ha-kodesh, when the Pasuk says he should atone for the mikdash ha-kodesh, ze lefnai v'lefnim, that refers to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Now Rashi explains that this whole Braisa is talking about what the par is mechaper for, what the blood of the par and of the sor, the sor Lashem, that is, what they are mechaper for. So they're mechaper for, the first one we're saying is mechaper in case there was any tuma that happened involving the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which means like this. Now you have, if a person enters the Beis HaMikdash when they're tamei, and they knew ahead of time that they were Tomei and this is the Beis HaMikdash, then they forgot one of those two details, then they went in or ate the Kodshim, and then later on they remembered. That's called Yediyah B'Tchila V'Yediyah B'Soif. In that case, they have to bring their own personal korban, a korban Olav Yodin. Now, what happens though, if there was Yediyah B'Tchila, he knew to begin with that he was Tomei, but then he forgot and went into the Beis HaMikdash or ate Kodshim, and then he didn't afterwards realize his mistake. So now this is what the Korbanos of Yom Kippur are meant to accomplish kapara for him, or actually not really complete kapara. Rashi brings from the Gemara in Shavuos what it is a temporary kapara. It saves him from the consequences of what he should get, until eventually there comes a point when he realizes that he entered the Beis HaMikdash when he was Tomei, and at that point he brings his korban Olav Yodin. So Rashi learns that the Braisa is describing over here what this par and sar are being mechaper for. They're being mechaper for a scenario where a person mistakenly entered the Kodesh HaKadosh in Betuma. Now, of course, nobody's supposed to be entering the Kodesh HaKadoshim except for the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. So either you have that a person, you could have, for example, one of the workmen went in there, let's say. You have workmen are allowed to go in there to fix. Ideally, we use Tehorim. If not, then we use Tmeim. But you can have a person, for example, who was Tomei and didn't realize it, and then was one of those workers who was lowered down or went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim as need be. And then later on, he realizes, so right now, he doesn't realize that he's Tomei. He did it for Shogig. And later on, he may realize, but right now, he has only Yediyah B'Tchila. So therefore, the Hazois in the Kodesh HaKadoshim are Mechaper for that. Oyo Moyed Zehecho, when the Pasuk continues that he's Mechaper for Oyo Moyed, that refers to the Hechel. That refers to that it's Mechaper for any Tumah for any accidental truma of that kind that involves the heichel. Now, if you have other possible cases. You have the case where you had no yediyah b'tchila, but you had yediyah b'sof. You have a case where you had no yediyah b'tchila or b'sof. So for those, it explains in Shavuos that there are different other korbanos throughout the year that are mechaper for those. And a little bit of that we're going to have later on in our sugya about what's mechaper for what. So again, all these cases we're talking about, according to Rashi, where a person had yediyah b'tchila, he knew earlier on that he was tameh, so he knows he's not allowed to enter the Beis Hamikdash. Then he forgot that he was tameh, or he forgot that this is the Beis Hamikdash, which could also be. Then he went in. Then he hasn't yet realized later on that he was over that on that b'shoti. So again, so far we have kapara for the Kodesh HaKadoshim, for the Oyo Moed, Mizbeach Kamashmoy. The word Mizbeach means exactly what it sounds like, means the Mizbeach HaChitzon. Meaning, in other words, so Rashi says, let's say, unlike the other ones where it sounds like Rashi is saying that we're talking about that he went in there when he's Tomei, here Rashi says it somewhat differently, that it could be he went onto the Mizbeach and stayed there long enough to bow where that's considered. If a person becomes Tomei in the Beis Hamikdash, the halacha is he has to get out of there as fast as possible. And if he waits there, the amount of time that it would take to bow, then he's chayev for Tumas Mikdash Rekodesh. So in this case, he became Tomei while he was standing there on the Mizbeach. Let's say a dead sheretz all of a sudden fell on him. And then instead of rushing off the Mizbeach right away, he stayed there kadesh shiur hishtachavoya. On the other hand, the Gvura Sari, it says that maybe the Girsa and Rashi should be loisha kadesh tachavoya, that maybe he didn't even stay there long enough, but let's say he did some kind of avoida while he was on there, which the Gemara and Shavuos explains. You could have, let's say, for example, he's hurrying out of there as fast as possible, but as he's doing that, while he's walking off the Mizbeach, he takes one of the large pokers over there and turns over a piece of a korban on the fire. So he didn't stay any longer than necessary, but he did do an avoida. And the point is that we need kapara for that, so it accomplishes that. Yechaper elo azores, and the word yechaper.
Alexander, are you saying that you need a shear of time to become tummy?
No,
it's not instantaneous.
But if a person becomes tummy in the Beis Hamikdash, then there's a shear of time beyond which, if he delays, then he's chayev for tumas mikdash v'kodesh. Less than that, and he's not chayev. That amount is, the Gemara tells us in Shavuos, the amount of time that it takes for Ishtachavoya, the amount of time it takes for bowing, which the Gemara associates it with a certain pasuk in Divrei Hayomim. The time, the amount of time it takes to say that pasuk is equal to the Shir Ishtachavoya. So let's say that amount of time, let's say, is 5 seconds. So in other words, if a person becomes Tomei on the Mizbeach, he's obligated, the moment he realizes he became Tomei, he has to rush off the Mizbeach and go out the Azara by the shortest possible route. So now, if instead, among
the five seconds is when he becomes Tomei or when he realizes that he becomes Tomei?
Until he starts moving. Once he realizes he's Tomei, he has, let's say, 5 seconds to get out of there by the shortest possible route. If he takes a longer route, or if he's taking the shorter route, but stops at some point more than 5 seconds, then he's going to be chayev for Tumas Mikdash v'Kodesh. And also, the Gemara mentions over there, also, even if he didn't delay any amount of time at all, but as he's walking, he does an avoda, that would also be mechayev him. So again, Rashi learned, the Braisa continues that Kohenim Kamashmon, Kohenim means what it sounds like, that we're mechaper on the Kohenim. Am HaKohol Eilu Yisrael, the word that it's mechaper for the people of the Kohol refers to the Yisraelim, and Yechaper Eilu Alevim. When it says Yechaper one more time in the Pasuk, it includes the Levim as well. So now, according to Rashi again, all of this has been saying that what the various sprinklings are mechaper for. They're mechaper in case there was tuma involving the Kodesh HaKadoshim, in case somebody went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim without realizing they had known in advance that they're tamei, but then they forgot before they entered the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and they haven't yet remembered that. So then it takes care of that. Similarly with the Heichel, similarly with the Mizbeach, similarly with the Azara. The only difference by the Mizbeach, Rashi is not saying that we're talking about that he went onto the Mizbeach Tomei, the Pashtus, because how is he going to get onto the Mizbeach without walking through the Azaris? And we mentioned the Azaris separately. So therefore, Rashi has to explain by that one that it means that he was on the Mizbeach and became Tomei and stayed there for longer than Shir Hishtachavoya. or again, according to the Gvura Sari, the Girsa should be that he didn't stay there, Shir Shtachava, but he did an Avoida. Now that's all according to Rashi. Tosfos and Tosfos Hishonim and other Rishonim have a number of problems with Rashi's explanation, one of them being what is this Gemara doing over here? We're talking over here about the dinim. We're in the middle of talking about what happens if the blood spills at some point during the avoda. What does he have to repeat? What does he not have to repeat? Why is this the appropriate place to be talking about what each of those hazoyos is being mechaper for? Also, they have a question of why the mizbeach needs to be mentioned separately from the hazoyos. So, okay, Tosfos says that, okay, maybe Rashi is explaining like that because he's saying it goes together with this that we're saying, the fact that all the ones in the Kodesh HaKadoshim are a unit of their own because they're mechaper for Tumah involved in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, that explains why if the blood spills in the middle of it, why you have to start over with those matanis. Fine. Nevertheless, though, Tosfos and many other Rishonim learn that actually this Braisa is talking about, it's not talking about what's mechaper for what at all. It's talking strictly about the question of what happens if the blood spills, this that we see that from the Pasuk, that each of these things is considered a separate, is considered a separate unit of its own. So Zeh Lefnai V'Lefnim means the sprinklings in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, that those are a unit of their own, and once those are done, you don't have to repeat them. Oyo moyed zehechel, meaning the ones that are done in front of the parechas are a unit of their own, and if afterwards the blood spilled, then you don't have to redo them. And the same thing by the mizbeach, which is the mizbeach hazahav, according to this one, and azaros, then according to that, would refer to the pouring of the shirayim of the blood on the yisoid of the mizbeach hachitzen. So each of those, in other words, is a kapara of its own, in the sense that if one of them, in the sense that if there was an interruption in the middle of one of them, then he has to start over from the beginning of that one. But if there was an interruption after any of them was done, then he doesn't have to go back and redo it. So according to them, it really does belong in the sugya. According to Rashi, as Tosfos says, maybe you could say that we're using the fact that each one of them is mechaper for a tumor in a different area to explain why it is that each one is considered a separate unit. Anyway, continues the Braisa. Hushvu kulon lakapara achas. Now we see from these words, hakoyanim va'akol amakol yechaper, when it says yechaper at the end, hushvu kulon lakapara achas, it means that all the koyanim, levim, and yisraelim are all made equal regarding one kapara. Shakulon miskapen besarim ashlech b'shar averis. When it comes to other averis, other than Tumas Mikdash V'Kodshav, Divir Rabbi Yehuda, then Rabbi Yehuda says that for all other averis, the Kohenim and the Levim and the Yisraelim are all miskapa with the Sarah Lazazel. So in other words, Rabbi Yehuda was telling us that the Par is mechaper for the Kohenim, for Tumas Mikdash V'Kodshav, the Sar is mechaper for Levim and Yisraelim, for Tumas Mikdash V'Kodshav, the Sar Lashem. So now, though, since you have a word yechaper over here, and it means to include all the Jewish people under the same heading of Kapara, so what is that? So what kapara is there that would be the same across all of them? That must be the kapara of the Sar Lazazel, so says Rabbi Yehuda. Reb Shimon says no. Kashem Shadama Sura Nasa Bafnim Chapra Yisrael Batumas Mikdash HaKadosh. He's saying the same as Rabbi Yehuda, just phrasing it a little differently. The same way as the blood of the Sur Bafnim, the Sur Lashem, is Machapra for Yisraelim and Levim in Tumas Mikdash HaKadosh. The same way, the blood of the par is mechaper, the same thing for the kohenim. Fine, that part he agrees with Rabbi Yehuda, he's just phrasing it a little differently. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, you could say in general, the whole avoida of the par is mechaper for the kohenim, and the whole is mechaper for the kohenim, including the vidui on the par as well, which we had back in the third parak of Or Masechta. And continues Rabbi Shimon, just as the Kohen Gadol's vidui on the Sur Lazazel is mechaper for all the other averis of the Yisraelim, as we're going to learn in the next perek, kach vidui shapar mechaper al kohenim b'shar averis. He says the same thing. The vidui on the power of the Kohen Gadol is mechaper for the Kohenim's other averis. In other words, Reb Shimon's basic point against Rabbi Yehuda is you're saying, Rabbi Yehuda, that the Kohenim that the Kohenim have their kapara for Tumas Mikdash V'Kodshav with the par, the Levim and the Yisraelim have it with the Sur, everybody shares in the kapara for other Averis with the Sur Lazazel. Reb Shimon says no. the Sola Zozel has no effect for the Kohanim. They've already been taken care of by the Vidui on the Pyre and then the blood of the Pyre. The Vidui took care of their other Averis and the Pyre took case of their Tumas Mikdash Kotrav. It's only by the Levim and the Israelim. There's no Vidui on the Sola Hashem. Therefore, for them, you have the Vidui on the Sola Zozel deals with the other Averis and then the blood of the Sur and the sprinkling of it of the Sola Hashem takes care of their Averis of Tumas Mikdash Kotrav. That Rashi brings from the Gemara and Shavuos. So new, what does Reb Shimon do with the Chaper, which shows that all of them share in the same kind of kapara. So he says what it means is the comparison is that all of them are able to have kapara for all these things, for Tumas Matesh Kodshav and for other Averis. Reb Shimon says the comparison doesn't go as far as to say that they're all Meskaper with the same animal, that not. He says the Kohanim have their power, the Levim and the Israelim have the Sur Lashem for the blood of the Sur Lashem and the Vidui and the Sur Lazozel, as opposed to the Yehuda saying that everybody has the Vidui and the Sur Lazozel for other Averis. Okay. Next, Tana Rabbanan, we learn in another Braisa. The Pasuk says, V'chilo mikaper es ha-kodesh. We've quoted this pasuk yesterday. V'chilo mikaper es ha-kodesh. He should complete making kapara for the kodesh. Ves oyel moed ves ha-mizbeach, and the oyel moed ha-mizbeach. So what does that mean? Bechila mikaper es hakodesh. The word hakodesh in this pasuk means zelifnai velifnim. This means in the kodesh hakodashim. Oyel moyed zehechol. The words oyel moyed refer to the rest of the hechol. Mizbeach kamashmoy, and mizbeach means the mizbeach azahav. Malamet shekulon kapara kapara. But neatzman, from here we learn that each one is a unit of kapara of its own. So and then this is going to be based on this is going to be what's the din if the blood spills. So now, according to Rashi's explanation of the previous braisa, that the previous braisa was focusing on what each one is machaper for. So now this braisa is focusing on what happens if the blood spills. According to Tosfos and the other Rishonim, who say that the previous braisa also was focusing on what's done with the on what's done in case the blood spills. So then that previous braisa learned that. That previous braisa learned that from the pasuk v'chiper es mikdash hakodesh, which is by the end of parashas Achrimos, and this one is learning it from an earlier pasuk v'chiper v'chila mikaper es hakodesh. Okay, so malamet shekulon kapora kapora. But neatzman, from here we learn that each of them is a unit of kapora of its own. Mikan Amru, based on this, the Chachamim said, Nosen Mikzas Matonis Shibuchnim, if he did some of the Matonis, some of the sprinklings of blood in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, V'nishpach Adam, and then the blood spilled, Yavi Dam Acher, then he has to bring other blood, which means if it was the Pyre, then he has to Shecht another Pyre, and as we said yesterday, he also is going to have to take another handful of Tertus, because we said that things have to be done in order. And then he's going to bring that blood, the yaschav atchilav matonis shibuknim, and store it all over the matonis inside. So if it was the pyre, that's the case. If it's the sur, it means he's going to have to shecht another sur lashem. And what he's going to deal with that, how he's going to pick that sur lashem, we're going to see in the next perek about whether he has to make a new girdle or not. And then we're going to talk about at the end of our perek. We're going to talk about at the end of our perek, which we'll learn tomorrow, Best Hashem. What do we do if we make a new girdle? That means we have an extra Sur Lazozel. What do we do with that extra one? Anyway, so that's if he did some of the matonis b'fnim and then the blood spilled. On the other hand, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Shimon Omrim, no, ain't a maschel al makom shepasek. Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Shimon say, no, he just has to start over from where he broke off. So he did, let's say, three hazois, and then the blood spilled. So now he does need to shecht the new animal, but now he doesn't need to start over from the beginning of the sprinklings. He just needs to start over, for he just needs to continue from where he broke off. Next, Gomer Samatonis Yerifnim. What if he finished the Matonis in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Nishbach Adam, and now before he does the ones in the Hechel, or while he's doing the ones in the Hechel, the blood spilled, Yavi Damacher, then he has to bring other blood, the Yaschav Atchila Behechel, and then he starts over. Then, if it spilled before he began any of the matonis in the hechel, then he has to shecht another animal and start with the matonis in the hechel. That part, Rabbi Lozer and Rabbi Shimon are not arguing with, because there's no hazois that he did yet in the hechel that we should say those already are done and he doesn't have to redo them. Now, over here, we wouldn't say that he has to redo some previous avodas, because after all, the pyre that he shechted previously was kosher to a certain extent. We had some of the matonis, we're done with it. So therefore, he just need to shecht another one and continue from there. Gomer samatonis nosan mixas matonis shebahechol. Now, if he did some of the sprinklings in the hechol, the nishbachadam, and then the blood spilled, yavi dam acher, then he has to bring other blood, he has to shecht another animal, the yascha b'tchila behechol, and start over with the hazois in the hechol. The ones that he did in the hechol so far before the blood spilled don't count. Again, Rabbi Lozer and Rabbi Shimon, I mean, any maskal and lakon to pasach. Again, Rabbi Lozer and Rabbi Shimon say, like they said in our Mishnah, that he only has to start over from where he broke off. So he had done three matonis so far. He doesn't have to do those three again. He just does another five. Gomer matonis shebehechol. Next, if he finished the matonis in the hechol, the nishbach adam, and then the blood spilled, yavi dam acher, again, he has to bring other blood, the yaschal b'tchil of matonis on his mizbeach, and start now with the applications of blood to the mizbeach, the four on the four corners and the seven on the top. If then he put some of the matonis on his beach and then the blood spilled, yavi dam acher, then he has to bring other blood, the yaschah b'tchil of matonis on his beach, and start again with the beginning of the matonis on his beach. So he has to redo the few that he did before the blood spilled. Again, Rabbi Lozer and Rabbi Shimon, and Makom Shepasik Komaschil, and Rabbi Lozer and Rabbi Shimon again say that he only has to start from where he broke off. Finally, gama matonis shemem his beach. Now, if he finished all the matonis on the mizbeach, the nishbach adam, and then the blood spilled before he could pour the shirayim on the yisoid, divrei hakol la ma'akvi, then everybody would agree that pouring the shirayim on the yisoid is not ma'akiv. At that point, he does not have to shecht another animal. Now, when we say everybody agrees, not necessarily do we mean everybody. Yesterday we discussed that maybe Rabbi Yehuda and maybe Rabbi Nechemya hold that the shirayim are in fact ma'akiv. But what we mean is divrei hakol. We mean all the opinions that are in this brisa now that we're dealing with, where we have the Tanakama of the brisa and we have Rabbi Lozer and Rabbi Shimon. Among them, all of them hold that the shirayim are not ma'akiv, and therefore that if the blood spilled before he applied the shirayim, before he poured out the shirayim, then it's fine. But each of the other ones, we said matana achas mehen me'akavas, and therefore he does have to go and shecht the new animal. The machlokas between the Tanakama and Rabbi Lozer and Rabbi Shimon is if it's spilled in the middle of in the middle of one of the series, does he have to start over from the beginning of that series, or is it enough that he just starts from where he broke off? So where do they get their respective opinions from? Amar Rabbi Yechanan shneim mikra echad doshu. Both the Tanakama and Rabbi Lozer and Rabbi Shimon are both basing themselves on the same pasuk. The pasuk says at the end of Parashas Tzaveh, midam chatas ha-kippurim, from the blood of the chatas. The pasuk starts by saying that Aaron accomplishes kapara on the mizbeach hazahav once a year, and the pasuk says midam chatas ha-kippurim, from the blood of the chatas of Yom Kippur, achas bashana, once a year. So now, what does that phrase achas bashana teach us? Reb Meir puts that word achas together with the word chatas. In terms of the truck, the word achas is separated from chatas akipurim. In the way we read it with the truck, midam chatas akipurim, from the blood of the chatas of Yom Kippur. With that blood, achas vashana, yichaper all of once a year, yichid b'mechaper. But Reb Meir, in effect, is taking the achas and putting it together with the word chatas. So therefore, it means chatas achas. So therefore, it means chatas achas amarti l'chov loy shtei chatos. So it means, says Reb Meir, that each series of hazois has to be done with one chatas, not with two. So if he did three hazois on the mizbeach, or three hazois in the kodesh hakodashim, or whatever, and then the blood spilled, if we were to say that he just continues and does the other five hazois with the blood of another korban, then it comes out that the eight hazois, the achas lamayla, the sheva lamata, are being done using two different chatos, and you can't do that. Each sequence has to be done with one chatas. So, okay, we said before, each of them is a kapara of its own, each of them is a unit of its own, and they're separated from each other in the pasuk. So therefore, we can say that once he finishes one series, then he doesn't have to redo that series with a new animal. But within a series, Reb Meir says, it has to be chatas achas, one chatas. Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Shimon Sabri, Rabbi Lozer and Rabbi Shimon, meanwhile, hold. No, chatas achas means chitui echad amarti l'cha, v'loi shnei chituyim. What we want is that there should be only one chitui, which means application of blood, and it shouldn't be repeated. So therefore, they say, if he did three hazois and then the blood spilled, if you're going to tell me he has to redo those three hazois, then it comes out that he did those hazois twice. And we know, and they're saying, we see from the pasuk that each type of hazar is supposed to be done only once. Therefore, they say it must be that the pasuk is telling us that you continue from where you broke off, and that way no hazar is being repeated. Okay, so that's the machlokes then. So the mayor says that the pasuk is implying that each series of hazaris has to be done with the blood of one animal. And Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon say, on the contrary, it means that each series of hazars, each individual hazar is to be done only once. Okay. The Gemara says, Tanya, Amar Rebbe, Li Chilek Rabbi Yaakov V'Lugin. Rabbi Yaakov pointed out to me a difference regarding the Lugin. Now, here we're going to start focusing on, from here, for the next little bit, we're going to focus on the Korbanos of the Metzora, specifically the Oshem of the Metzora, and the lug of oil that he brings with it. So the final stage of a Metzora's Tahara, a Metzora is one of the Mechusar Kippurim, he has to bring a Korban in order to be able to, in the future, enter the Bais Mikdash or eat Kodshim. So he brings three Korbanos, one of them is an Oshem. Unlike most Ashamos, this one is accompanied by Nesachim. Usually only an Ola, a Shlomim, a Toida are accompanied by Nesachim. But here you have uniquely an Oshem that's accompanied by Nesachim. In addition with that, also he brings a lug of oil. Where that lug of oil, so now what happens is the blood of the Oshem, some of it is applied by the Kohen to the Metzora's right ear, his right thumb, and his right big toe. Then of the oil, the Kohen takes the oil, the lug of oil, sprinkles seven times of it. We're going to talk about soon where he stands when he does that sprinkling. Then he takes the oil and applies some of it with his finger again to the Metzora's ear, thumb, and toe. And after that, the rest of it he's supposed to pour on the Metzora's head, and he pours on the Metzora's head, and the rest of the lug becomes the rest of the lug is like the leftovers of a korban after the blood was sprinkled and the nemurim were offered, and the kohenim can eat that oil. They can mix it with other food and eat it. So now let's talk about. So the same way as you have hazar with the blood of the korbanos on Yom Kippur, the same way you have hazaris and you have applications with this oil of the Metzora. Again, you have seven sprinklings of it. You have an application on his ear, his thumb, and his toe. Then you have placing some of it on his head. And then you have the rest of it. Okay, we're not dealing with what happens with the Shirayim. So the Rebbe says, Rebbe Yaakov pointed out to me a difference as far as the lugim, that they're not the same thing. In other words, he's saying that when it comes to the Hazaris of Yom Kippur, we have the machlokes between Rav Meir on the one hand and Rav Elazar and Rav Shimon on the other, whether any Hazaris are repeated or not. Again, if the blood spills in the middle of a series of Hazaris, does he have to start over with that series, or does he just start where he broke off from? And we said that the basic argument is how we learn Chatas HaKippurim Achas Bashana. But when it comes to the lug of oil of a Metzora, there the Pasuk says that he has to bring the loig echad shaman, one loig of oil. So that means we learn from that, and there's no way of learning otherwise, that it means there has to be only one lug for the kapara, not two. So therefore, everybody would agree that you have to start over again. You can't have that some of the hazaris were done with one lug of oil and the rest of them, after it spilled and you got a new lug, are going to be done with the other one, because you can't do that, because it says the loig echad shaman, making it clear that all of them have to be done with the same loig. So the Gemara says, Veloy? So you're telling me that not? You're telling me Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon don't argue, and that their mayor and Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon don't argue in that case as well? But Hatanya, we learn in a Braisa, Nosan Mitzis Matonis Rifnim. What if the Kohen did some of the applications of blood Bifnim? Now Rashi over here says, Bifnim, Rashi over here says that it means actually inside the Hekel. There are different Rishonim. Rashi himself, in some places, seems to say that he stands in the Hechel. In other places, Rashi says that actually it means he stands in the Azara and sprinkles it towards the Hechel. Different Rishonim talk about the details with that. Whether that's what is that Rashi himself seems to contradict himself in a couple of places, where there are places where he says that it takes place in the Hechel and other places where he says it takes place in the Azara. So according, if we say that it's in the heichod on the wood, then the word b'fnim means exactly b'fnim and b'heichol means exactly that. If you say that it takes place outside of the Azara, then the words b'fnim or b'heichol are not really exact. It just means in the Azara facing towards the heichol. Anyway, so the Braisa says, Nosen miktas matanis shibifnim. What if he did some of the matanis, some of the seven sprinklings of blood b'fnim, of oil, b'fnim, inside the heichol or out in the Azara, depending on the different opinions, v'nishbach haloig, and then the lug of oil spilled, yavi lugach, you should bring another lug of oil, v'yasch b'tchila matanis shibahechol, and start again with the seven sprinklings of the heichol, and again, Rabbi Lozer and Rabbi Shimon, I mean, makom shepasuk u'maschol. Rabbi Lozer and Rabbi Shimon say he continues from where we left off. So we see, according to them also, you don't have to have dafka loig echad shaman, and therefore it has to be all the matanis are done with one loig. They don't agree with that. And continues the Braisa, Gama Matanis Shebehechol, what if he finished the seven sprinklings, Benishmach HaLoig, and then the log of oil spilled, Yavi Lug Acher, then he brings another log, V'yaschob Atchil of Matanis Shebehechol, and he starts, Gama Matanis Shebehechol, Benishmach HaLoig, Yavi Lug Acher, V'yaschob Atchil of Matanis Shebehechol, then he starts, now with this new log, he starts the application of oil that goes onto the guy's ear, thumb, and toe. Behoinus in general, meaning behoinus is a general term, meaning big thumb and big toe. So the Gemara often uses that as a shorthand for the three applications that we're doing for the Metzora. But of course, you have the ear as well. Nosan mixtus matonis behoinus. If he put some of the matonis on the thumbs, and then the log spilled, then he has to bring another log and start over with the applications of blood of oil we're talking about to the ear, thumb, and toe. Again, Rabbi Lozer and Shimon and Maskel. And again, Rabbi Lozer and Shimon say that no, he just starts from where he broke off. So if he had done, let's say, the ear and not the thumb and not the big toe yet, and then it spilled, Rabbi Lozer and Shimon would say that you bring new oil. You don't do the ear again. You only do the thumb and the toe. And Goma Matonis Shibba Behonis, if he finished the Matonis on the Behonis, on the ear, thumb, and toe, the Nishmach HaLug, and then the log spilled, Divra Hakko, Matnas HaRosh, Lema Akbis, everybody would agree that the placing of the rest of the oil on his head is not Ma'akiv, and therefore the log and the whole procedure is kosher. So again, Tosfos mentions over here, the same way as we had the Machlokas before Tosfos and Tziach Yitzchak on Tosfos points out, again, the same way as we had before a Machlokas about the Shirayim, whether pouring them on the Yisoid is Ma'akiv, the same way there is an opinion of Rabbi Akiva that mentions in Zvachim that if he didn't put the oil on the guy's head, then he wasn't Mechaper. So when we say over here that if you didn't put it on the head, then it means it's not active. Not necessarily. Again, would everybody agree to that? But what we mean is, so Tosfos brings a couple of possibilities. Does it mean Lloyd Kippur? Does it mean he's not Mechaper at all? Does it mean he didn't do the mitzvah in the best possible way? Or is it just that Gemara means fine? There's another opinion that says that it's ma'akiv, but we're not dealing with that over here, because again, when we say everybody agrees it's not ma'akiv, we mean that the Tanakama and Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Shimon all say it's not ma'akiv. The fact that there may be other Tanoim out there who say it's ma'akiv, then we're not worried about right now. Okay. Anyway, the point is that we see clearly from this Braisa that yes, the same machlokas as you have as far as Hazar on Yom Kippur of the blood, the same way you have the exact same machlokas as far as the Hazar of the oil of a Mitzvah, where if it's spilled in the middle of one series of applications, then the Tanakama, which we're going to say is Reb Meir, is going to make you start over from the beginning of that series, and Reb Lazar and Reb Shimon are going to say not. So how can Reb Yaakov say to Rebbe that there's a difference between the lugim, that when it comes to the lugim, it's not the same as the blood, and everybody agrees that you have to store it over? We see that Rebbe Lazar and Rebbe Shimon still say over here that you don't store it over. The answer is Ema, you're right. You have to fix up what Rebbe said. Lishina Rebbe Yaakov Belugin. Lishana Rebbe Yaakov Belugin. What it means is Rebbe Yaakov taught me that there's the same machlokas as between Rebbe Lazar and Rebbe Shimon and Rebbe Meir on the lug of the Mitzvah as well. Actually, the Ritva says, so how do you get from Chilik to Shana? He says that actually all it is a change of Nekudis. The original word that Rebbe used was not necessarily Chilik, it was Shina, which means he changed. So now it's very easy to change Shina into Shana. So Shina would mean that he changed, that he said that there's a difference between one and the other, versus Shana would mean that he taught me that there's machlokes by that one as well. Okay. So let's go back now and analyze. Omar Matonis Harosh Ein Ma'akvus. We said that putting the oil on the Matsoda's head is not ma'akiv. So if the blood, if the oil rather spilled before he put the matana on the guy's head, then it doesn't matter. So my timer. Now, why is that? Why are we saying that everything else up to that point, the seven sprinklings and the application to the ear, thumb, and toe is ma'akiv, but only the pouring on the head is not? So my timer. Are you going to say because the pasuk calls it the leftover of the oil? It says you should place on the kohen's head. So therefore, on the matzora's head. So we would consider it shirayim. And shirayim, we said before that according to many tanoim, the shirayim are not ma'akiv. The problem with that is by the same logic, when you have vahanoiso, you're going to say it means something that's not ma'akiv. What about the rest of a mincha and the part that's left, the shirayim, after you take out the kmitza, is called vahanoiseres? And we're not going to say that if the shirayim are not there, then the mincha is kosher. In fact, the Gemara in Menachos tells us exactly the opposite, that if you take the kmitza of the mincha and the shirayim are, and you don't have the full shirayim there by the time it's offered on, by the time the kmitza is offered on the mizbeach, then you can't offer them, then you can't offer the kmitz. So you see that even though the rest of the mincha is called noiseres, it's called the shirayim, nevertheless, it still has to be intact until the kmitz is offered. So the same thing over here, why should we say just because the oil on the head is called hanoiser, we should say that it's not ma'akiv? In fact, Tosafos Hashanim says you have within the oil of the Matsoda itself, the Pasuk previously calls the oil that's left after the seven Azos, it calls it Miyeser Hashemen. So the Gemara could have asked the same thing about that. Why are the applications of oil to the ear, thumb, and toe active? The Gemara preferred to find the word Noiseres, which is by the Mincha, which is much more similar to the word Noiser by the oil for the head. Anyway, the point is just because something is called Noiser in the Torah doesn't show that it's not active. We see by mincha that the shirayim are ma'akiv. The answer is shiny hasim d'chtiv b'min yaser v'anoiser. Fine, but by the oil of the Matsoda, you have twice it uses the expression leftover. First it says the leftover oil that's in the kohen's hand he puts on the ear, thumb, and toe, and then the leftover of that he puts on his head. So therefore it comes out that what's being put on his head is a leftover of a leftover, shirayim of shirayim, and that we're not going to say is ma'akiv. So the first ones, which are only called shirayim, those may well be ma'akim, and those are, if he doesn't put them on the ear and thumb and toe, then he hasn't accomplished the kapara. But the one on the head, we're saying, according to this, is not ma'akim, because that's already only shirayim of shirayim. Okay. Talking further about the korban of the mitzvah, Amar Rav Yechanan, Asham Mitzvah Sheshachter Shaloi Lishmoi, suppose that you shechted this Asham of the mitzvah Shaloi Lishmoi. Now, the din is most korbanos, if you shecht them, or do, when we say shechting, we don't just mean the shechting, we mean the other avodas as well, the Kabbalah, the Halacha, the Zrika, all of those have to be done l'shma. With most korbanos, if one of those was done shalai l'shma, then the korban is still kosher, and you continue bringing it as a regular korban, it just doesn't count for the owner's obligation. Only by a chatas, on a korban Pesach, do we say that shalai l'shma makes it possible. So now, if the Asham Metzora was shechted, Shaloi Lishmoi, Bonu the Machlokas, Reb Meir, Reb Elazar, Reb Shimon. Now we come to the same Machlokas of Reb Meir versus Reb Elazar and Reb Shimon. What does he do in that case? Reb Meir, Da'amah Yavi Acha V'yascha B'tchila. Reb Meir had said that any avoda that wasn't completed, we consider as if it wasn't there. So over there, it comes out that Reb Meir is Machmir, and he's going to say, for example, that you have to do the sprinklings that you started, you have to start them over again. You have to redo the sequence of sprinklings that you did before. So for example, Reb Meir had said, we said that if he spilled the oil in the middle of the seven sprinklings, then he has to start over from the beginning of that sequence of sprinklings. But over here, it comes out, Lakula, Reb Meir in effect is saying, you already had sprinklings, but those don't count because it got spilled in the middle. Therefore, you have to start over from the beginning of the sprinklings, and then you have Echad Shaman, then you have Loig Echad Shaman, one log of oil. So according to Reb Meir, something that was interrupted in the middle is as if it didn't happen. So over here, the Osham wasn't finished because, yes, it was shechted, and yes, it's being brought, but it's not counted for his choyva. So therefore, even if they already applied the blood to his ear, thumb, and toe, and then they realized that actually it was shechted shelo lishma, then nevertheless, Rav Meir was saying, we ignore that one, we bring a new Osham, and he starts over again. So the Rav Meir, d'amar yavi achav yaschem b'tchila, according to the mayor that you start over again, hachanami yavi achav yishchet. The same way over here, you bring another Osham and shecht it and start all over again. Whereas according to Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Shimon, who say that you continue from where you broke off before, then over here, according to them, there's no way to fix it up because they're saying that that whatever was done so far has validity. So now you have over here, and over here you also have where it says keves echad osham. So again, all the applications of blood have to be done using the same keves. So therefore, they would say ein lo takana. Says Rabbi Yochanan, there's no way of fixing that up because now if you shecht another osham and you start again doing the applications on his ear, thumb, and toe, then it comes out that those are being done with two different ashamas, and that's no good. It has to be only one asham. Now, why did we say before by the loig shemen shalmetzorda that there's no problem with that? So there's a couple of different explanations. One of them being that the loig shemen doesn't go on the mizbeach, whereas the asham does. Another point is with the loig shemen, you don't really need to redo anything. According to them, you just start from where you broke off. Whereas over here, when you bring a new asham, necessarily you're going to need to shecht it again. And at least the shchita of this one was so far done, shaloi lishma, and therefore it comes out that you're repeating an avoda. And according to the laws and the shemen, you can't do that. There is also a different explanation that the Rabbeinu Yochim says that there can be a difference between the loig shemen which spilled, where therefore it means you don't have the shemen available anymore, versus the osham that was shechted shelo lishma, where the osham may not be counting for his chayva, but nevertheless the fact is it's still there, it exists, and it's being brought as a kosher korban, including the sochem and all. With that said, though, Tosfos says, what are you talking about? If it was shechted shelo lishmoi and it doesn't count for the owner's chayva, then how can you say that shechting another one is going to go against osham echad? The fact is, it was shechted shelo lishmoi. The fact that you applied the blood to the guy's ear, thumb, and toe doesn't mean anything because it's not considered an osham that he's yotze with. So therefore, Tosfos and other rishonim learn that they prefer the girsa of Rabbeinu Chanan all over here, that the problem is not if it was shechted shelo lishmoi, the problem is if the blood spilled. So now again, Rav Meir would say the fact that the blood spilled doesn't matter. You go take another animal and shecht it, and you apply the blood where you're supposed to. And according to Rav Elazar and Rav Shimon, we would say that ein lo takana, that there's no way of fixing it up, because again, according to them, you have because that is like, in other words, they would have the same machloikas as we had in connection with Yom Kippur, if the blood of the korban spilled. But the difference is over there, they're able to learn that chatas akipurim achas means that you never repeat any matana of blood. Here, when it says osham echad, there's no wiggle room over there. You have to say that it means that nothing can be, that you have to say that it means everything has to be accomplished with one osham. And here it's not, because the blood spilled. Okay, so that's according to Rabbi Yechonon. Maskifle Rav Chista. Rav Chista says, how could you say that according to Rav Meir it would be fine and you bring another Asham, whereas only according to Rav Elazar and Rav Shimon is there a problem. The Pasuk says that you have to wave it, the sheep of the Asham, together with the Loig HaShemen. So even according to Rav Meir, now you're bringing a new Asham, but where's the new Lug? So according to Rav Meir also it should be Ein LaTakana. And the Gemara says Kasha. Okay, that's a Kasha on Rabbi Yechanan, not a Stira, because you could say maybe Rabbi Yechanan holds that the Oisoi is used for some other Durasha. Okay, so the Gemara says Tanya Kavasei de Rabbi Yechanan. Now, we learn a Braisa like Rabbi Yechanan's opinion, that according to the mayor, it would be fine, and you just bring another asham. Whereas according to the Balazar and Shimon, it's not fine, and the person ain't my takana. There's no way of fixing up the situation, and he's never going to be able to ever enter the bris mikdash to eat kodshim again, according to him. So we learn a brisa. Asham metzora shachtish lo lishmoi. If you shechted an asham metzora not lishmoi, or if you didn't put the blood on the ear, thumb, and toe of the Mitzorah, you still bring it to the Mitzorah. It still requires Nesachim like the Oshem of the Mitzorah, even though right now it's not functioning as the Oshem of the Mitzorah. It still needs the Nesachim that it would have needed before. And he still needs another Oshem in order to actually make him kosher to enter the Beis Mikdash to eat kosher. So we see that the Tana of this Braisa, who Pashtus is your mayor, is saying that there is a way out of it. He needs another animal for an osha, but it can be fixed up. So Rav Chista, what would Rav Chista say to that? He who says that after all, since it says oisoi, means even according to the mayor, you can't shech another animal. He would say, Omalach my tzorich. You know what the word tzorich means? Tzorich ve'en la takana means he needs another animal, but according to even Rav Meir, he can't because of the word oisoi. Therefore, he's stuck. Where do you ever find a Tana saying such a thing, that the word tzorich means that you need something, but it's not possible to do it for a different reason, and therefore you're stuck? But the answer is ain't. As a matter of fact, yes, we have another example of that. V'ha Tanya, we learn a braisa along those lines. Nazir memorat, what if a nazir is bald? Now we know a nazir at the end of his nazirus has to shave, and then he brings his korbanos. What happens if he's bald? So he doesn't have any hair to shave. So Bishamai says he still needs to pass a razor over his head. There's no hair for him to cut off with the razor. Doesn't matter. He still needs to do that. Bishilo says he does not need to pass a razor over his head. Now Rabbi Avinah says, when Bishamai is saying that he needs to pass a razor over his head, they don't mean that he should actually do that. The fact is, passing a razor involves cutting hair. There's no hair to cut. Therefore, Bishamai says, Tzorech Vein LeTakana. It means he needs to, but he can't because there's no hair for him to pass over the razor with. Therefore, according to Bishamai, he's stuck and he cannot bring his korbanos. So we see that sometimes the word Tzorech can be used in the sense of there is something that needs to be done. However, it can't be done for a side reason. And therefore, you're stuck. However, the Gemara says, this statement of Rav Avinah disagrees with how Rav Pedos understands it. The Amr of Pedos, Bishamai, Rav Elazar, Amru Davar Echad. Bishamai says that Bishamai and Rav Elazar are saying the same thing, and that same thing is going to be that there is a way out of it. That there is something that he can, that just the opposite. He learns Bishamai's Tzorich, meaning that you actually have to do the thing, you have to do the action, even if it's not accomplishing exactly what it should have. So in other words, in this case, usually passing a razor over your head involves shaving the hair. But here we're saying, even though Rebbe Lazar's understanding of Bishamai is that their tzarich means that you need to pass a razor over your head. In other words, you do the physical action. You take a razor, you run it along your head. There's no hair to cut. Doesn't matter. The pasuk says that you need to put a razor, therefore you put a razor. So Bishamai Hodam Moran, Bishamai, we just said. So now, in other words, again, according to Rabbi Avinah, Tzorich of Bishamai meant you need to be cutting the hair. No hair, then there's nothing you can do. You're stuck. According to the Pedas, it's the other way around. No hair, you still do the razor. You're not cutting any hair with it. Doesn't matter. You're still doing the razor. So but he says that Bishamai and Rabbi Lazar say the same thing. Bishamai Hodam Moran, we said what Bishamai says. Rabbi Lazar, where do we see Rabbi Lazar said such a thing? The Tanya, really the Tznan, it's a Mishnah in Negoyim. Now we said before that the blood of the Osham and then the oil that accompanies the Osham have to be applied to the Mitzvah's ear, thumb, and toe. So what if Ein Le Boyin Yad or Boyin Negel? What if he doesn't have a right thumb, or what if he doesn't have a right big toe? Then the Tanakama of the Braisa says there's no way ever for him to become Tahar, because you have to have that these things are applied to his ear, his thumb, and his right thumb and his right big toe. And if those don't exist, then there's nothing you can do. On the other hand, Rabbi Elazar Oymen Noisin Amakayim of the Yotze. Rabbi Elazar says no, you can just put it on where the ear, thumb, or toe should be, and then you Yotze. So in other words, the basic machlokes over here is a concept that Gemara mentions elsewhere, but in and krok dichtiv or loy be in and krok dichtiv. do we require that the pasuk has to be fulfilled exactly as it says? So the pasuk says you have to put it on his ear, then there must be an. The pasuk says you have to put it on his thumb, so there must be a thumb there. The pasuk says you put it on his toe, so there must be a toe there. Do we say that? Or do we say you don't need it to be exactly as it says in the pasuk? It's good enough if you just place it where the ear or thumb or toe should be. So the Tanakhama is saying, but in krokodiktiv. Rabbi Lazar is saying you don't. So it's good enough to put it on the stump where the ear or thumb or toe was. Rabbi Shimon, I mean, nasan al shal smil yotza. Rabbi Shimon says if you put it on the left side, then you're also yotza because then according to him also loy b'in krokodiktiv. So even though the pasuk is saying that you have to put it on his right ear, thumb, and toe, but if you don't have the right one, then you put it on the left one according to Rabbi Shimon. So we see, in other words, that Rabbi Lazar holds that even, so Rabbi Lazar holds that when you can't do exactly what the pasuk is saying, then you do the next closest thing, which according to him is you place it where the ear or thumb or toe should be. Rabbi Padas understands, but Shammai to be saying the same way, you have to do as close as possible to what it says in the pasuk. So the pasuk says a nazir has to shave, then okay, this guy doesn't have any hair, then he does the motion of shaving, even though there's no actual shaving involved. Whereas again, according to Rabbi Avinah, we said Bishamai says exactly the opposite. If Bishamai holds Ba'in and Krokodichtiv, therefore, if you don't have hair to shave, then Bishamai says there's nothing you can do. An interesting thing, an interesting outgrowth of this, by the way, comes up as a discussion among the poskim. What does a person do when it comes to taking wool of an esrog if he doesn't have a hand? So then we talk about if he doesn't have a right hand or he doesn't have a left hand. Does he take them in his? Does he take them in his arm? In the crook of his arm? Does he take them like in his elbow? Does he take it maybe one after the other using his left hand? So one difference is they point out when it comes to taking lulav and esrog, the pasuk never uses the expression that you have to take them biyad. It just says lakachtem lachem b'yam rishon. So therefore, maybe you have a little flexibility with it. You could take it in your elbow or something. You don't have to take it in the palm of your hand. And if you don't have that available, then you're able to take it in the other hand. And that's how it's brought in Shulchan Aruch. Okay. Since talking about the oshim of the mitzvah.
If you have an artificial hand, does that count?
It might. We talked about the other day the concept of lakicha yedei davar acher, that if you take the lulav and esrog by means of something else. So we gave an example over there that, let's say, you wrap a scarf around the lulav and esrog and then you pick them up using the scarf, then you can be yotze that way. So yeah, so an artificial hand would be something similar to that. The Gemara does mention over there in Sukkah, you can't do it in a way of bizoyan. You can't, for example, let's say put the lulav and esrog inside a pot and pick up the pot and be yotze, because that's not a respectful way of doing it. For taking it with a prosthetic hand, of course, would be respectful. So preposterous, you could be yotze that way. Okay. Turn it up on. We wrote in a braisa. So v'lokach midam ha'oshem. The pasuk says that the kohen should take from the blood of the oshem, which refers to kabbalah of the blood. You would think that means that he does Kabbalah in a kli shoris, like usual. Turn on a nasan, but the pasuk then continues that he should place the blood on the mitzvah's ear, thumb, and toe, which we learn from that. Manasina ba'atzma shel koyin, just like the putting on the ear, thumb, and toe is done with the koyin's own body, it's done with his finger. Aflikicha ba'atzma shel koyin, that would mean that the Kabbalah sadam has to be done in the koyin's hand, not in the kli shoris. Now, yochol achlam is be'achkein. In that case, you would think that means that all the blood, even the blood that's going to be put on the mizbeach of the osham, is also caught in the kohen's hand. This would be an example. We know that an osham has to have its blood placed on the mizbeach like other korbanos. And actually, Rashi brings this is an example of one of the yud gimel midas shatoyin adreshes behem is davar shahoyah b'chlal. When you have something that's part of a general rule, the yotza lidan b'davar chadash, and then it's singled out, and a new rule is mentioned by it that doesn't apply to any other korban. Iyat yochal achzir l'chlal. You can't put it back into the general rule. Until the pasuk tells you explicitly. So now we have like this: the osham of a mitzvah is an osham. The blood of an osham is usually put on the mizbeach. Shtei matanas shein arba. But over here we have the pasuk is telling us that we put the blood on the mitzvah's ear, thumb, and toe. So that's a davar chadash. You wouldn't know that the blood of the osham is placed on the mizbeach at all, and you actually need a pasuk to tell us that. You actually need a pasuk to tell us that the blood is even placed on the mizbeach. So you would think then that the so fine. Once we know that the blood is placed on the mizbeach, still you would think that since we're saying that the blood is received in the Kohen's hand, then maybe all of it is, and therefore in this particular case, all the blood is received in the Kohen's hands, or probably a few Kohenim, because you have a fair amount of blood there, but whatever. The point would be, in other words, that maybe you do that, and then you go over to the Mizbeach and sprinkle some of it on the Mizbeach, and then you go over to the Metzora and do his thing. So Tana Rabbanan, and the Talmud Lomar, therefore the Pasuk says, Ki kachatas ha'asham hu. The Pasuk says, no, this asham is like a chatas, meaning ma chatas ta'una kli, just like a chatas, the blood is received and sprinkled on the Mizbeach from a keli, af asham ta'un kli. Also the asham requires a keli. So therefore, so this is an example that ad yach zrena akasam l'kol l'b'chedosh, the pasuk explicitly says ki kachatas ha'osham hui hu, to tell us that ki kachatas ha'osham hu, to tell us that this osham otherwise has the usual rules of a chatas. The kabbalah sadam is done in a keli, the blood is sprinkled on the mizbeach on a keli. On the other hand, it also has this davar chadash of that there's a kabbalah ba'atzmei shel kohen, that the blood is received in the kohen's hand and applied with the kohen's finger to the and the mitzvah is ear, thumb, and toe. Nimtzei sa'at ha'omer, so it comes out. Asham mitzvah, shnei koyanim, kamlas damai. So therefore, it comes out. The osham of the mitzvah, you actually have to have two koyanim who work together on the kabbalah sadat. Echad v'yad v'echad v'kli. One receives some of the blood in his hand, the other in his left hand, the pasuk says. The other one receives the blood in a cave. The one who received it in the keli goes over to the mizbeach and does the usual applications of blood to the mizbeach of any other asham. The one who received it by hand goes over to the mitzvah and dips his right finger in and applies it to the ear, thumb, and toe. That's something unique that you have by an asham where the blood is caught in not completely in a kli sharis, but partially in the kohen's hand. And then it's applied to the mitzvah that way. Okay, so that completes the discussion about the osham and the mitzvah and the various things involving that, the nesachim and the log of oil that come with it. And then we're going to get back now to this matter. We'll talk tomorrow, Bez Hashem, about this matter of when the blood spills and when you have to bring a new korban of Yom Kippur. What do we do with the if it's the seir? What do we do with the extra seirim, with the extra seirim la'azazel that we're going to have over here? The extra seirim la'ashem or the extra seirim la'azazel, as the case may be. So we'll talk about that tomorrow, Bez Hashem, and then we'll start the new parak, which is going to be all about the seir la'azazel.
Shkaya.